Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Great show powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined in studio now by the executive producer of Titans Radio, Rhett Bryan. So one of really the thrills of Rhett's life is to slave away in the Titans Radio workshop each afternoon.
The salt mine, I call it.
The salt mine. While listening to our show.
Yeah, I do.
And I never understand, because I'll go in there and be like, listen to this, and it'll be so loud. And then you'll tell me later, a bunch of stuff we said on the show, I don't know how you can train your ears to hear everything you're working on, and then also what us
knuckleheads are talking about. I've got you in Q in there on my board. I've got you in Q and at a little lower volume. So in lulls where I'm putting things together, I hear, you know, things that you guys say. Right. And so I heard your really good pieces this week about the, you know, what you believe are in ranking order, the essential Titans players on offense and defense to get them to go from good to great, which has been the mantra all offseason with Mike Vrabel. You know, and that comes from that book, that best-selling book that Jim Collins had about business guys. It's a whole thing about companies and how they went from good to great and the ones that attempted it and failed. Mm-hmm. It was a bestseller in the New York Times for, years, a long time ago. But
I read more books.
Well, if my wife listens, she's laughing because I don't read near what I read, you know, stats and things.
You and I completely nerd out for months reading draft publications.
Yes, yes.
That counts.
But, yeah, I was interested in that and I was interested to hear your ranks on those things.
What'd you think about what we had to say?
I don't know that I disagree with much of any of it. And I want to go through. I've got 5 on offense, 5 on defense, and mine aren't ranked in any particular order. I just think these are the key people that need to have a good year for various reasons to help them get to good from great, from good to great. I guess I'll start. Let's go with defense first, because I think offense has the more question marks.
We all got pretty deep in the weeds on the offense.
Oh, I'm sure.
We got pretty deep in that one. And no offense to anybody, but that defensive lineup is pretty well set up. And then you plug in, you know, Brent Urban, who already knows your system.
Right.
And you had 2 guys retire who were fantastic dudes and great veterans.
Yep.
But it really run out of gas at outside linebacker. But everybody else, pretty much the same bunch of cats.
For me, it was almost hard for me to come up with 5 guys defensively.
Well, I got 5 immediately.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, hit us.
And Brent Urban, I think, is going to be a big deal in this thing because he knows that stuff. And, you know, Dean Pease makes him do the dirty work in this thing. He wants to be the best 5 technique guy in the league. And let's start with up there where the big trees are in that front line. Daquan Jones is one that I think needs to have a good year to help this team get better like that. And Daquan, by all indications, is in the best shape of his career. I've never seen him in better shape.
Doesn't it feel like he's poised for that? I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah,
I think he set himself up for that because Frank Pirano is the strength and conditioning coach for the Titans now. And, you know, in one of those availability days, we heard Harold Landry talk about how much the two of them have been in there just tearing it up in the weight room. And they've, you know, created a friendship on and off the field. Their families hang out or whatever. But
Were you surprised by that as I was?
You don't necessarily think about a D lineman and a linebacker. You know, it isn't as odd as maybe a cornerback and an offensive lineman.
Dogs living together. Right, right. Yeah, not that odd, but
you
still
can see the evidence. His body type wasn't great. A lot of big guys coming out of college were not that way. And so, you know, it's evidence that he has certainly been working on that. But he's one for me for sure. I think a couple of the obvious ones. I mean, Harold Landry is one that you need to have in the lineup and doing what he does and that change up pitch off that fastball. And we saw some stuff against Tom Brady in those two joint practices that shows me he's ready for that part.
He was my number one overall.
Sure.
We counted to three and just all said, let's say our number one, and we all said Harold Landry.
Yeah. How many of you mentioned Rashawn Evans? Because I think he is one of the keys in this thing.
Yes.
And I think
he was my third defensively, yeah.
And I don't think he'll disappoint either. I think he is set up to be a rock star in this. And my other two.
Actually, he was my second.
He was second for you, third for me.
Because I had trouble coming up with three, four, and five.
Sure.
But Landry and Evans were the two that I just pointed out. They have to.
Yeah.
They have to make that step.
And for them, it's not that they didn't have their moments as rookies. For them, it's make that jump in the second year.
Yeah.
And I always think of Jeff Fisher.
Consistently.
Because anytime it came up with Jeff Fisher, he said, you make such a jump from year one to year two. You know, we all learned so much from Jeff Fisher because he was the coach here forever, and we talked to him every week forever. But that always comes to mind. So if both of those guys make the jumps that we think they can, look the heck out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And my last two on defense are both defensive backs. And I don't remember if any of y'all said this name, and it may surprise you, but one of my two left on defense is Dane Cruikshank. I think he's important to the rotation of the back end of that thing is in terms of the backup safeties, because I think they're pretty set there with Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro.
Yeah.
And Amani Hooker is going to play. Get ready.
Yeah.
But Cruikshank, I didn't think has had a really great camp and can use he needs to get – we need to see more of what we saw early in his rookie year. And then my other one, and this is the one I don't know if any of you had, was Adoree' Jackson. I think Adoree' Jackson – has all the skill set in the world, but he has to take it to another level. And I think he'd tell you the same thing. He needs to make another jump.
Adoree' was number four for me.
Yeah. Okay. And I combined him with Malcolm at three.
Yeah.
I'm like, Adoree', Malcolm.
Person.
From a consistency standpoint.
And I understand because Malcolm started off rocky and then got fantastic towards the end.
And there were, I felt like there were rocky points here and there for Adoree'.
All right, so...
Do you think Adoree' should be the punt returner? I don't. And that's no offense to him.
No.
I don't think he should be the punt returner.
I'm not comfortable with him being back there for one reason. I want him healthy playing in that secondary.
Right.
Just that simple. But I know we live in a day and age where there's only 46 guys active on Sundays, and it's the more you can do, right?
Yeah.
All right, on offense, it's no question Marcus Mariota is the leader in the clubhouse, I think, with that. Because if he has a fantastic year, he has a chance to not only play himself into an extension contract-wise, but he can, you know, hopefully – I mean, he's never played a 16-game full season. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
And if he's ginning and doing the things he's supposed to, this team's going to be better for it. And I think you look at the other spot right there on his left or right hip, and that's Derrick Henry. You need Derrick Henry like you had last 6 weeks of 2018 Derrick Henry. And, again, if those two things are working in concert together, this offense has so many weapons that it can take advantage of. Taywan Taylor, I think, is the lost man in this. And he, if he is going to hang onto a roster spot, needs to elevate because he's a third-year guy. Corey Davis, I know y'all mentioned. I didn't have him in that because I think he'll take that step forward. He certainly could be an honorable mention in all of that. But I'm going to leave the last couple of spots on offense to the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And one of them's Jack Conklin, who I do believe is in better shape. And he admitted to us the other day after practice, he had to get past the mental part of trusting the knee, getting back to those things. He's down weight. He said he came in, you know, he's probably in the 310, 315 range where he was closer to 330 earlier on. And he's at a nice camp. He's done well. And that is huge. Knowing that you're not more than likely going to have Taylor Lewan in those first four games of the regular season. And he's my other one. Taylor Lewan has to go from good to great. And he'd probably get mad at me for saying this or hearing me say this. But
listen, as much as
I like bussing with the boys, I'd like for him to spend more time concentrating on being the best left tackle in football like he's paid. I really would. And I love the guy. And I like that he clowns around, has fun, but it's time to get to work. And
this other boy just got shipped off to New Orleans.
And with this whole Will Compton is now a Saint, and we'll see how that works out for the podcast. But he's cost his team dearly in these first four games. innocently or not. And you've got to focus on being the best left tackle. And he can be. But that's one I think I thought would surprise you all. And that's where I am with him. Yep. And I'm not mad at him or disappointed or whatever. I just think that's the truth. That's what has to happen.
He's got that kind of ability.
Yep.
He's 6'7" and 3'10" or whatever he is, yep. And runs like a point guard.
Absolutely. I mean,
they don't make many people.
It's
like
the same
that.
Kind of a Dory Jackson thing. Yeah. Has all the athletic skill set in the world.
Yep.
Has to go do it and do it consistently.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 232 in the Music City on a Friday afternoon. You're listening to AC/DC. Sorry, I launched into my wacky FM DJ self. Rhett Bryan in studio with us. I did that for you, Rhett, because for years you were a wacky FM DJ.
I was on this frequency when it was a classic rock station. 7 to midnight. Had the 70s at 7 with a little show I started there with all kinds of common threads with songs about, you know, tonight it's Colors Night, and these are all the songs that mention colors. And it's like, in a white room, all that kind of stuff.
I did it on this frequency. So in my wheelhouse
25
with that stuff.
Years ago. Yeah.
You're not old enough for that.
Started when he was 10.
Oh, I am too.
He's an intern for middle school. Hey, at one point last week, we were standing out on the field, and I think I said this to nobody in particular, maybe the shade by the goalpost I was standing next to, was this, and I think I tweeted it later. I just kind of, sometimes I want to say to myself, sometimes I say, I felt like Mick Jagger.
Ooh, ooh,
yes,
ooh.
I knew you'd pick me up. What if everybody was out there ever at one time? Like, what if Derrick Henry was there and Adam Humphries, who they spent money on, and A.J. Brown, who they spent all this draft capital
on.
And
Corey Davis.
And Corey Davis and Delanie Walker. What if that happened? 20th practice.
Number 8.
20th practice of the year.
It was
Marcus Mariota looked around and saw the harvest finally being reaped.
Yeah.
All
these guys. It was a thing of beauty, and the combine that gathered it up gently placed them right there between the hashes. And it was, I think, a choir sung by Lake Ambulet. It was a wonderful thing. No, it really... To think about, you know, because Derrick Henry got banged up right there at the beginning of camp, and but just to think about the long road back for Jonnu Smith and for Delanie Walker, and how welcome it is to see those guys out there working now, and it's huge to what we were talking about, you know, before we went to break in the other segment about going from good to great. You have to have these guys. I mean, in that Miami game in week one, you lost your best offensive player.
Yep.
In Delanie Walker. And so it's no secret, Jonnu Smith was swimming for those first few weeks, and then he started getting into it. And I've got an interview coming up with him on Titans Countdown Sunday night, because we talk about this. And I'm like, dude, I felt like you were, the light had fully come on and you were hitting a stride before you got hurt. And he got hurt. He and Jack Conklin both got hurt on the 99-yard run, that same play that night
all the Jaguars.
Against the Jags with Derrick Henry. And, you know, we talk about where he thought his game was, where he's improved, what he learned from all of that. And I'm just excited for him because Jonnu's 35. I mean, Delanie's 35, big major injury, and I never count the guy out. But, you know, in case that catches up with him a little bit in terms of the fatigue or whatever – Jonnu learned so much last year. He can do pretty much what they ask him to do at that position, whatever it is. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, his former position coach in Arthur Smith is now his offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Jonnu. I mentioned all those other guys. Jonnu Smith and Ryan Succop have come off the physically unable to perform list. And, you know, they've got Austin Bernard, and they've really said he's more of a punter, but sometimes we'll have him kick. And they haven't always, and they've gone for it and done some other things in the preseason. I don't know if Ryan Succop does anything Sunday night against the Steelers or not. Maybe you would have more insight on that. But just having him back and knowing you got Kern and Succop and Brinkley all back for another year.
The tripod,
as I call them. Also great.
And I think you bring up excellent points because, first of all, this third preseason game, it's not your dad's dress rehearsal. Or the dress rehearsal we remember when we were younger. And I think what's changed in all that is these joint practices. Mm-hmm. You know, the joint practices, the Patriots have done three different teams this preseason with that stuff.
Which is why you don't see Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And anybody else in
it's almost akin to like 7-on-7 changing the football world from high school forward. It's almost kind of like that. So, you know, how long will they play? Who will play? And I think those are the questions going into this. I know that whoever plays, they're going to get a good test against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's a perfect team. This has been a two-week window of tuning up and getting ready for Cleveland on September the 8th. But, yeah, will Ryan Succop kick? Will he talk them into getting some practice kicks in a game situation like that? Will Jonnu Smith get his first reps in a while? Will they continue to give, you know, Delaney a couple of things, or will they back him down because they see Delaney's Delaney and we're good? Same thing with Derrick Henry. Will we see a couple of carries out of him at all?
Do you want to see Derrick Henry?
I don't think – if I'm Mike Vrabel, I don't care. I don't care that he – whether he carries in the preseason or not. Same thing with Harold Landry. If I don't – those got enough –
I disagree there.
Harold Landry got in enough good work in those 2 days against Tom Brady. I'm telling you, I'm not worried about him. He'll be okay.
Which one of those two are you most worried about?
Landry.
Landry. Mm-hmm. And she's been pretty adamant about that.
Because Derrick Henry's played a lot of ball, right? I get it. And I'm not as worried about him. I'm more worried about Landry because we saw the flashes there at the end of the season. We saw what he's capable of. But I just feel you got to get him back into the speed, at least a little bit of live action instead of just practice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can't replicate that.
Because
you're
can't replicate it. And because it's not like he's played a ton of ball. I mean, the guy battled injuries in college and didn't, you know. So I wanted to see him in an actual preseason game just to get that feel.
All right, let me ask you this. Is your fear kind of underlined with the whole, what is the main question on defense, and that's the depth issue at outside linebacker? Is it kind of underlined with that? Is that one reason that's maybe amping up your anxiety about that?
Probably, yeah. And I mean, let's be honest, our every single one of our number one, even though you didn't number yours, but our number one, what does this team need on defense to go
Harold
from
Landry.
Good to great? Harold Landry, yeah. To be Harold Landry, you know, to turn into what he needs to be. Well, so that's probably where a little bit of my anxiety comes of not being able to see him in game action in the preseason, because I feel like this defense is really counting on him to come out and be a big piece of it.
I wouldn't disagree with what you're saying because, and this is no disrespect to anybody that's been on that side of the ball and been a pass rusher in the 20-plus seasons as the Titans, but we saw what Javon Kearse did in 1999, and that was unbelievable. That's a quarterback sack record for a rookie player that still stands right now.
That dude was
He was on fire.
Oh, the freak.
And probably the most electric since then was Kyle VandenBosch.
Yeah.
And you had a good year out of Jason Babin 1 year, then he went into free agency and got some money.
I forgot about him.
It's the one thing I think this team has been lacking consistently for some time now, and in drafts every year,
the sack guy and a number one just kick your a receiver,
yeah, wide receiver,
and the two things that they seem to have had
right
trouble not necessarily acquiring a free agent, but drafting and developing that guy
every year when Mickey and I quote unquote nerd out at draft time.
It's the best.
You know, we talk about what do they need? They need a stud pass rusher.
Yeah.
Well, I think when a year ago in that draft, When he was there that far down, you understood why he went and got him. But here's the one thing that is going to be interesting with all of this, because if those Jarrell and those guys up front, we know how much reciprocation there is between that, what I believe to be the strongest part of that defense, the secondary, versus that front line, and it reciprocates back and forth between coverages to create sack situations. Coverage sacks because they're locked everything down on the back end, or just pressure, period, up front. But what I'm saying is Jeffrey Simmons is a big thing with all of this. I don't know how soon or how late he comes along in 2019, but he is going, if he is anything of what I think he's going to be, Jarrell Casey's going to go to another 3 or 4 Pro Bowls. And
he'll extend your
there's
going to
be some dudes back there like Harold Landry that are going to have double-digit sacks because this guy's just eating up space.
Yeah.
Blaine Bishop and any of those guys who are part of the secondary always say when Javon got there, he said it completely changed everything because you knew you wouldn't have to cover anybody very long. He said you had a countdown and the ball was coming out.
And it's because they had
to. Or the ball would never come out because Javon was on top of the quarterback.
Yeah, and it's because those offensive coordinators were kept up every night before every one of those games that they faced the Titans with, worried about where number 90 was going to be.
Now, Jeffrey Simmons, we talked about this a little bit. And Mickey yesterday went all in. Was it yesterday, I think? You were like, that cat's going to be out there.
I'm counting him as a guy who's going to help this year.
He's going to help this team
this
year.
And I think sooner than later.
My thing was, when I was on my you know, when I was saying my prayers at night, mm-hmm. I was drinking my milk and saying my prayers and taking my vitamins.
Training, eating your vitamins. You know, please, Hulk Hogan here.
Yeah. Please, just maybe just for December. Could we just have him for December? Maybe just please a little bit of December. And I'm starting to, and nobody's told me anything, but I watch what I see and I see what I watch. I'm beginning to think there's no doubt he will help this team at a minimum in December.
I wouldn't disagree. And I'll underline it with this. I think genetically he's made up a little different where that is going to make that possible.
Oh,
he looks like, and I explained this to, I don't know who I was watching practice with the other day, but I said, you know what? It's like if just he plays so much, he looks so much bigger than he is, 6'4", 300. He looks like he's 6'7", 350. He looks like he was hit with the Hulk's gamma rays, and he's just big everywhere. Like, his pinky is bigger than most. His calf is as big as my, you know, thighs or whatever. He's just bigger, and he is unreal with what little we have seen out of him trying to get back in that side field. And it just makes you, I mean, thank you for getting on your knees and praying, you know, to the two-tone Lord about getting this dude in here to go, because, gosh, if he comes in, I think he's going to make a difference. I really do. I see why John Robinson took a flyer on him, knowing that you might not have him for the year. I get it.
Brett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio. We'll get started here on the Zone with Titans Radio stuff at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening.
Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff. Woo-hoo.
Then over to the network at 6 o'clock.
Titans Countdown presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
It's the best. And then the kickoff at 7 o'clock.
With Coach Dave McGinnis, the head coach of Titans Radio, and the longtime one and only voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Listen to him.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. We got to go to break, though. When we come back, though, Chris Lowell will join us. Lots to talk about with college football, including Jim Harbaugh's comments about not being able to beat the cheaters. Maybe he can offer some context. We'll do that next. 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery.